I call this meeting of the Committee on Public Safety, Finance, and Policy to order. There is a quorum present. Welcome back, everybody. It's nice to see you, although you've changed sides, so I'm going to be really confused tonight. I'm just going to say that. Before we get to our agenda, I do have a couple of announcements to make. We do have a new committee legislative assistant. Christian Lawrence is here. Welcome. We're happy to have you. We also have two new committee pages. We have Maddie Ryan and Connor Beckel. Welcome. Happy to have you as well. Thank you. And coming on an evening right out of the gate. We appreciate it. And then I just wanted to go through a few housekeeping items tonight. Most importantly, everyone here today must be seated when they are in the hearing room. Room 10 has been provided as an overflow room if this room becomes too crowded. There will be no standing or sitting in the walkways or aisles, and if you need any further accommodation, please communicate with the sergeant's staff. Signs are not permitted in the hearing room. Don't see that being an issue tonight. And then no outbursts, no clapping, any kinds of disruptions. And so with that out of the way, members, we do have one bill on the agenda, but before we get to that, I believe we have some minutes to approve from a long, long time ago. Chair Becker Finn, would you like to move approval of the March 30, 2023 minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair, that is my motion.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and the minutes for March 30th, 2023 are approved. All right, our next item on the agenda is our only item on the agenda tonight, and that is Representative Frazier's bill, House File 3489. I am not going to really make any remarks at this point, Representative Frazier. I am just going to turn it right over to you. I know we have a lot of people here to testify. Thank you so much to everybody who's come to testify. So I'm, like I said, going to keep my comments short so that we can hear from all of you. And Representative Frazier, I believe that we are going to lay the bill over. So I move to lay over House File 3489. And before we do that, you do have an A2 author's amendment. And Representative Frazier, I assume you want to move the A2 amendment to put the bill in the shape you desire.
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Can you please describe the A2 amendment?
The A2 amendment addresses issues raised by the League of Minnesota Cities in terms of some insurance issues. So we provided this amendment to clarify and rectify that issue. We also added additional consultation groups to the model policy post-board making process, which included Disability Services Council and then also the National Association of School Resource Officers. And then is there one more piece? I don't have it in front of me.
I believe the training also included training on the topics identified in Section 626.8469, Subdivision 1, related to juveniles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is correct. And thank you, Representative Tapke, for helping me out. That is all.
All right. Any discussion of the A2 amendment? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the A2 amendment is adopted. All right, Representative Frazier, your bill is now before us. Please go ahead and tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the members and to the public audience. Thank you all for being here. Many of you I saw the night before, and I've seen you many times over the last several months. Thank you for being engaged on this process, and I am appreciative of the prospects that we will continue to be engaged as we continue to work on something that works best for our educators and for our kids in our schools to make sure that they are safe, no matter what the situations are. So House File 3489 addresses an issue that came up this fall with concerns about the clarity of a bill passed in 2023 in regards to prone restraints used in our educational settings. And specifically, the confusion or ambiguity was around when force could be used in our educational settings. This bill clarifies when force can be used for educators as well as when force can be used for SROs in the educational setting. What I have to provide is some context. We're talking about this bill specifically addresses prone restraints. And the reason we're having this conversation is because we had one of the most tragic situations happen in the state of Minnesota when we had the killing of George Floyd by former Officer Chauvin. And many folks, when they envision a prone restraint, they are envisioning, in fact, that incident, that interaction that took the life of George Floyd when they think about a prone restraint. This bill will address when prone restraints can be used, in what manner, and it provides clear guidance on that, so there will be no questions moving forward. What I'd like to say is that what also we provide, we're going to provide in this bill as well, is a clear statutory construct for transparency and accountability that does not exist today. It will provide for mandatory training for folks that go into our SRO programs. It will provide a process to create a model policy that will be developed with stakeholders. We were intentional about being inclusive of the voices in that process, because what we heard loud and clear from folks is that they didn't feel heard and they didn't feel included in a process that took place over the last legislative session. We heard you, we see you, and we will make sure that those voices are included when we go through this process and as we move forward. With that, Madam Chair, I will allow for nonpartisan staff to do a walkthrough, and then we'll be open for testimony.
Thank you, Representative Frazier. We'll now have House Counsel Ben Johnson walk through the bill for us. Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, sections 1 and 2 work together. They say that a school resource officer is not an employee or agent of a school for the purposes of the statute addressing corporal punishment and certain holds. Section 3 removes the word imminent from the description of when teachers and principals can use reasonable force to prevent bodily harm or death to a student or another, and makes conforming changes in a couple of reports that are due. Section 4 is at the top of page 3. It is very similar to the first two sections. It says that school resource officers are not agents or employees of a school for the purposes of the statutes authorizing reasonable force by teachers and school officials. Sections 5 and 6 require school boards and charter school boards to enter into a contract if they choose to have a school resource officer program. Sections 7 and 8, which go on pages 3 and 4, are similar. Both of these are in Chapter 609 and authorize the use of force in certain situations. The changes in the two sections move teachers out of provisions that would apply to parents and guardians and into provisions that apply to other school officials. Section 9, which starts on page 5, line 10, is longer. I'm going to go through by subdivision briefly. The first subdivision includes definitions. It defines a school resource officer. The second subdivision establishes the duties of resource officers and also says that schools and charter schools can contract with SROs for the officer to perform additional duties. Subdivision 3, which is on page 6, requires school resource officers to receive training. An officer who's going to serve as a school resource officer must receive that training by June 1st, 2025. The next two paragraphs the next three paragraphs have a few exceptions. There are some school resource officers who will have already received training from the named groups in the bill. Those individuals do not have to complete additional training until June 1st, 2027. Paragraphs C and D apply to situations where an officer either begins work before being able to receive the training, and that person would get a 6-month grace period. And paragraph D applies to substitute school resource officers who can serve without the training for up to 60 student contact days. In both of those situations, there are certain duties that are not required to be performed. Subdivision 4 indicates the components of the training course that we have already talked about. And then paragraph B, which is on page 7, indicates that for those individuals who received the training mentioned earlier, the Peace Officer Standard and Training Board can create a supplemental program. So instead of a complete new training, these officers would only need to be trained on the pieces that they had not already received training on. Subdivision 5, which is at the bottom of page 7, requires a model policy. The Board of Peace Officers Standards and Training would be required to consult with some named groups, which include peace officer groups, education groups, and community groups, to develop the policy. And then on the final page, there is a requirement that law enforcement agencies adopt policies that are identical or substantially similar to the model policy. Subdivision 7 indicates that there can be sanctions for licensing for violation of the model policy and also injunctive relief for failure to comply with the requirements. Madam Chair, the final section in the bill is Section 10. This is an appropriation to the Department of Public Safety. There's an appropriation in fiscal year 2024 and in 2025. This is to increase staffing at the department's school safety center and to perform the other duties, which basically means providing training at no cost to law enforcement agencies. Madam Chair, that completes the report.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And Representative Frazier, I think you, the commissioners are here to testify to your bill. So first we'll call up Commissioner Jett from the Department of Education. And Commissioner Jacobson, if you want to come on down and get on deck, you will be up next. And as a reminder to the commissioners and to everybody testifying today, if you can make sure to introduce yourself for the record before you begin your testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, members, good evening. My name is Willie Jett. I'm the Commissioner of Education. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide thoughts on this bill. Before we begin, I want to express my gratitude to the individuals and the organizations who provided thoughtful input into this proposal over the last months. I also want to thank the authors, legislators, and members of the administration for their collaborative work. While our perspectives on this bill may vary, I appreciate our common focus and commitment to prioritize the health, safety, and well-being of our students and school communities. As some of you may know, I spent many years serving as a school and district administrator. Part of our work as school administrators is to ensure the safety of our school environments, including de-escalating situations. However, we occasionally require assistance from our law enforcement partners, specifically school resource officers, if there are significant safety concerns. SRO programs, when done well, are rooted in relationships that prioritize the health, safety, and support of young people. This bill ensures all SROs throughout the state have the training necessary to create these relationships. SROs are viewed as essential to maintaining safe and secure learning environments, and the data from the 2022 Minnesota Student Survey tells us that an overwhelmingly majority of students from all demographic groups value the SROs in their schools. For 9 years, I served as the superintendent in St. Cloud Area Schools. We spent those years in partnership with our local police departments to co-create the roles, responsibilities, and guide rails for our school resource officers. Together, we prioritized safety, which stems from relationship and connection. We focused on the clarity and consistency of roles, including restorative practices and community-based non-punitive supports and responses. We all recognize that SROs in schools can be a complicated conversation that requires honest and careful consideration. And it's essential that we provide the clarity through this bill to ensure the health and safety of our school communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Jett. Next up, we have the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, Bob Jacobson. Welcome back, Commissioner. Please introduce yourself and begin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Mueller, members of the committee. Bob Jacobson, Commissioner of Public Safety, my honor to serve, just finishing up my first year. Just a little, as a means of a little bit of background, my history is primarily in law enforcement, 33 years spent, including about 17 years as a police chief. I also worked in the Department of Human Services where I worked with child welfare issues, and making sure to keeping kids out of the system. I also supervised and led SROs in Mounds View School District since 1992 until the time that I retired in 2016, or retired for the first time. So I have experience in a number of these areas. I also want to add that I fully support Representative Frazier's bill. I believe that SROs are valuable members of our school communities, forging positive relationships with students and adults in our school buildings. Based on the results of the 2022 student survey, the vast majority of students think it's a good idea to have an SRO in the school and will talk to an SRO about something illegal or unsafe. An SRO is yet another responsible adult in the school setting. The SRO bill in front of the committee today represents a comprehensive proposal. It creates clear duties for SROs and schools. It provides training requirements that are focused on school settings and working with students, and free training options for law enforcement will exist for this training. It also requires a post-board model policy that will incorporate broad input from Minnesotans, including those working in education, law enforcement, and community groups. This policy will cover a lot of topics, but the one that I believe is most important is focusing on building constructive relationships between SROs, students, and educators. This SRO bill also makes it clear that SROs are not allowed to be involved in school discipline. This has been a best practice and included in training for years. Putting this into law makes that very clear. And I will add that if a community so chooses to have an SRO, this bill will help ensure a higher standard and specialized training. And with that, in closing, I would just add that a child deserves a learning environment that is safe, supportive, and healthy. I believe that this bill will help accomplish that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mueller.
Thank you. I wondered when there would be a good time to ask questions of our testifiers.
Yeah.
I do have a question for Commissioner Jacobson.
Thank you for that question. So my plan is to get through all the public testimony, and then we will circle back to questions. I assume both commissioners are going to be able to stick around in case there are questions for either of them. I can't see Commissioner Jett from where I'm at. So, yes, he's nodding, and Commissioner Jacobson as well. So we will circle back. All right. We have a number of people from the public who have signed up to testify in advance. And as a reminder, everybody has been given 90 seconds. I know that's not a lot, but we want to get to hear from as many people as we can. I'll also note that there are several letters that have been submitted, and those can be found online, and there are also some printed copies in the front of the room. The first set of testifiers, and what I'll do is try to call the person who's on deck and then, or the person who's up and then the person on deck so that we can kind of keep things moving. We have several students from Robbinsdale Cooper High School. If all of you students want to come down now, we've got Candace Lewis up first. And then on deck, we have Darian Mohan, Chad Hill, and Jamvone Rush Reese. So if you all want to come, and you can sit behind the testifier table, too, until it's your turn. We'll start with Candace. And everybody else, please feel free to take a seat behind that rope. There's a rope there, but you can go back there. Hi, welcome to the committee. You can introduce yourself and then begin your testimony.
Okay. Good evening, Madam Chair and members. My name is Candace Lewis. I'm a senior at Robbinsdale Cooper High School. And of course, a label of authority is not all defining, especially when it comes to a student deciding why they feel SROs are necessary in school. That label isn't anything close to what you can even imagine. It's not only the relationship they have, but it's also those qualifications that come with it. It's conflict resolution, it's that cultural competency, especially from a school that's as diverse as mine. It's very, it comes from a place where it's very nice to have people who understand what it's like to have differences in the world. And when you're in a place that's just so different sometimes, it's just nice to have people you can talk to about those experiences and have a certain input with law enforcement that you usually don't see. There's also the de-escalation of situations that we usually don't want our hall monitors to have to deal with, which creates that domino effect when it gets into classrooms, ends up disrupting our learning time, ends up hindering what our teachers have to do or what basically what the students have to do, which is to learn when they go there. There's just so much when it comes to school, and of course, school is basically another community, and it takes a lot to make the school work, and it takes a lot to have everything running through that day, and I feel like SROs are a piece of that puzzle in the school as well, and I feel as though they play a big role as much as everyone else as staff, and they are more than officers to me. They are staff. They are people who do their job extremely well. They are effective in their situation because they're there. That's what they've been trained to do. They understand the situations they have to deal with, and I feel as though they are very, very necessary for us in our everyday life.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your testimony. Next, we have Darian Muhen. You did a good job, Candace, kicking us off, so thank you so much. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself, and you can begin your testimony.
Hello, Madam Chair and members. My name is Darian Muhen, and I am part of the Robbinsdale Cooper High School Multicultural Advisor Committee. I would first like to start off by just saying, me as a Black teen woman in high school, safety is an important factor in my life. I love to be able to walk into my schools and feel safe and know that there are SROs present who are watching me to make sure that I am safe constantly throughout the day until I leave out that building. With the SROs being gone, you feel that lack of safetyness and that lack of comfortability walking into your school knowing that someone is watching out for you and that you can be safe throughout the school day. It has the lack of relationships with the students, knowing that that comfortability of having that relationship with an officer isn't a modern thing that you see these days between teens. Teens and officers usually aren't as comfortable around each other. But at Robbinsdale Cooper High School, you can tell that the teens and the SROs that are present at our school have that relationship. And they're able to trust them and to rally on them that you can be safe throughout Cooper every single day of your life. And having the SROs not there, it also interrupts our educational process. Parents aren't feeling safe sending their students and sending their kids into our schools knowing that there is no type of security there. We can't risk our teachers and staff and admins' life knowing that they are not prepared to handle any unsafe situation. We have to trust that our SROs can do that job. And without them being there, we are risking the lives of students, right, the lives of admin, the lives of staff, and that's just not right. I should be able to go to Cooper and go to my school and feel safe throughout the entire day. And that's why we need SROs back in the building. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Chad Hill, you're up next. Welcome. You can introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
All right. Madam Chair and members, my name is Chad Hill. I'm a sophomore at Robbinsdale Cooper High School, and I'm representing the Multicultural Advisory Committee. To start off, I think that the whole point in SROs are to break down barriers. I think everyone knows and can agree that police officers in schools should be about breaking down barriers, if that's race or gender or whatever it may be. But I think it's about community building. If we have community building within SROs being a part of spirit and being a part of what we do within the school is very important. With that, who wouldn't want someone, I'm sure many of you on this committee are parents yourselves, possibly, and I think who wouldn't want their kids to know, or who wouldn't want to know that their kids are safe knowing that SROs are in the building? I think it's very essential, and that SROs should be in the building and that people can have someone to trust. And it's about, I can't speak for every high school, but I do know, you know, having a process in which you choose your SRO for the building or your school is very important. I think, you know, if having people who look like you, you're more likely to respond to them and have a relationship with them rather than having a barrier between you. I think it's very essential that we have a process in which districts and schools have or choose SROs that best fit them, and I hope that everyone considers putting SROs back in the building because I really feel that they're very essential to schools.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Now we've got Jambon Rush-Reese, and then up next, Matt Shaver. So, Matt, if you want to work your way down. Welcome to the committee. You can introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Hi, Madam Chairman, and other members. My name is Jamon Rashreesh from the Cooper Multicultural Advisory Committee. I'd like to speak a bit about SROs and their impacts and relationships with schools and the community. At my school with youth today, the public view and perspective on law enforcement and police officers is most oftentimes negative. This stems from most interactions and news they see and hear from the police being negative also, whether that be through screens on their phones or screens on their TVs or one-on-one interactions, the conversations with their friends and families, or at worst, our own personal negative interaction. The law enforcement and police aren't going to go away, no matter how negatively we view them or dislike them. And we can't change that, but something we can change is the public perspective that we have on them, especially the perspective kids have on them and youth can see them. Kids my age and my grade and at my school see laws or see officers as people with a great amount of power, see them as uniforms or see them as just a badge. Through them, our MAC group and my interactions and ability to have interactions with the SROs, my ability, I've been able to form more nuanced a view and respect for the law, and I think that'd be a very important and necessity for kids and developing young adults to have. To see, most times when people see them, they hear them see just negatives, and to have this ability to see and build relationships with law enforcement can lead to interactions in the future to later be more respectful and more positive and not get to positions or points where it can be violent or lead to death. To have someone in your school that you know you can trust and know that's there to work and there to work with you and be there to look out and protect you can be great and very inspiring for our developing youth. And it has been for me, especially as a black young man going to a predominantly POC school, and for other members of our MAC group and other members in our school, and to be able to talk to our SROs that have been pulled out of the building and work with our New Hope Chief, Tim Hoyt, has been a great experience for us, those who just spoke, myself, and everyone else at Cooper, who are part of the MAG group. And to have the ability to have SROs in the school to build relationships with and know that they're there to keep you safe is an important part of school that most of our kids want and I think should be there and needed. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And thanks to all of the students. Thanks for coming down here tonight. We really appreciate it. I did give them a little more leeway to go over. There might be one other student testifier, which I will give you that leeway as well. And I think we've got Matt Schaefer next, and then Patricia Beatty, you are on deck. Hi, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Chair Moeller, members of the committee, good evening. My name is Matt Schaefer, Policy Director at Ed Allies. We're members of the Solutions Not Suspensions Coalition. I'm here today to testify in opposition to House File 3489 as amended. Prone kills kids, and our advocacy isn't about whether we believe SROs belong in schools. It's about whether the state of Minnesota believes holds that kill children belong in schools. The Minnesota Student Survey didn't ask students their thoughts on whether the adults in a school building should have the authority to hold them in face-down positions for nonviolent situations, maybe next year. A school is a unique place full of people whose bodies and brains are in the process of developing the entire time they are required to be there. So we better get things like who, how, and why adults can put their hands on your child, my child, other people's children right. Last year's legislation was a great start in setting a standard for the use of prone in schools. And unfortunately, in the course of stakeholder engagement, we heard directly from law enforcement leadership that if they are not able to use prone in schools, they will need to use tasers on kids. So it sounds like there is need for clarity. So let's clarify the intent of the law by updating the chokehold ban in 60906 with the language in 121A to explicitly say SROs may not use prone restraint in schools unless there is imminent threat of bodily harm or death. We keep hearing that the chokehold ban in 60906 is the backstop for our concerns about exempting SROs because it's inclusive of a ban on prone restraint. But it isn't, and this bill demonstrates that. Line 8.4 of the bill requires the model policy to address tactics and strategies to limit the use and duration of prone restraint. You don't need to limit the use and duration of something that's already not allowed. That'd be like limiting the use of hockey sticks in the NFL. Listen to families and students. Do not ask us to have faith in systems and structures that haven't earned it yet. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Patricia Beatty, and on deck, we have Luca Jacoby Crone. Welcome to the committee. Please begin your testimony after you introduce yourself.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Patricia Beatty. I am the General Counsel with the League of Minnesota Cities. I would like to express a thank you to the committee for the opportunity to be heard And a special thank you to Representative Frazier for his efforts and leadership in this, as well as Chair Moeller and the other legislatures who has helped with this legislation. At the outset, I want to make sure it's clear the League does not advise its member cities to take part in SRO programs, but we do support the authority for cities and school districts to enter into these agreements if the local community desires. We do appreciate the amendment that's being presented here today. It does address many of the concerns, significant concerns that were raised by the League. Specifically, we are raising them on behalf of our members with police departments. Not every city has a police department. The amendment does clarify and answer a number of questions that we had and concerns that we had, particularly with respect to any new risks or civil liabilities that potentially could be created by this legislation, and we appreciate that. I do need to note and thank that the Republican leadership for their efforts yesterday in introducing the Delete Everything Amendment, which included the League's specific proposed language, and the letter that we have submitted along with our local government partner organizations does have the complete scope of the proposed language. But we are in support of the amendment. And I do want to note that the League and our expertise, we stand ready to help and support further engagement with lawmakers on this legislation. We want it to be the best it can be in terms of transparency and clarity, and so we're ready to help. We believe these goals of transparency and clarity are goals of all stakeholders, particularly our member cities. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Luca Jacoby Crone, and on deck, we have Jeff Potts. Okay. Hi, welcome to the committee. Please begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Mueller and members of the committee. My name is Luca Jacoby Crone. I'm a representative of the Minnesota Youth Council, which is a group of 36 youth that is supposed to represent all 8 districts of Minnesota. We are empowered with the critical task of amplifying youth voices in Minnesota. I support this legislation because of my personal experience. I'm a senior at Edina High School. I've always had positive interactions with SROs who have served more as mentors to students and have always had positive interactions overall. I think the committee should pass this bill because it takes the necessary steps to clarifying some issues that happened last session, especially with the prone restraint. And this bill clarifies that it would allow SROs to return to schools and feel assured that they can fully complete their jobs and keep students safe. As well, furthermore, the new training requirement in this bill, I think, is a good step forward, as training should be required for SROs, as school environments are unique, so there's a unique approach needed, and the proposed training outlines seem like a good way to do that. Furthermore, I would like to highlight that the Minnesota Board of Peace Officers Standards and Training, or the POST Board, which would be tasked to hold SROs accountable regarding licensing sanctions, has a couple of issues. The League of Women Voters has highlighted that in the past, this and currently this board is heavily made of law enforcement. I think about 10 of the 16 members have some experience in law enforcement or the criminal system in general. I would hope and recommend that this committee would be made up of 5 individuals who are law enforcement, 5 individuals of higher education, and 6 members of the public. I'd also furthermore urge that we keep youth voice in the legislation and helping develop the model policies, because at the end of the day, it'll be the students who have to sort of live with the SROs being in the school. All right, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And again, thank you to the students who are here today. I feel like our future is in really good hands with these testifiers. Just really impressed with the students. And I misspoke before. It is not Jeff Potts. It is Chief Brulee who's here with us. And then on deck, we have Marcy Eckstead. So, Chief, if you want to introduce yourself and begin your testimony, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, sorry to disappoint you that I'm not Jeff Potts. But thank you for the opportunity to testify this evening. My name is Mark Brulee. I am the police chief in Brooklyn Park. I'm speaking today on behalf of the Minnesota Chief Police Association, who represents more than 300 police chiefs across the state and over 150 command staff members. We appreciate the work that has been done to clarify the law for school resource officers. The Minnesota Police Chiefs Association, along with the Minnesota Sheriff's Association and the Minnesota Police and Peace Officer Association submitted a letter last week, February 9th, which is included in your packet, outlining concerns with House File 3489. We appreciate the author's amendment, which does address some of the concerns we included in last week's letter. However, two issues remain. We continue to request that the term shall be changed to may on line 5.21 of the bill. We agree with the description of the duties laid out in the bill, but feel including the word shall takes away from the SRO's ability to use their discretion. The word shall in state statute is well understood. It is a required action by a police officer. Such examples are in violation of orders for protection, where officers shall make an arrest, or when an officer encounters a sign and release warrant, they shall issue a new court date. This statutory requirement leaves no room for officer discretion, which is appropriate in certain situations. However, in doing that, for officers doing what is just includes considering each situation uniquely and the individuals involved, and then seeking the best solution. One of the required duties on line 5.29 is that the school resource officer shall enforce criminal laws. Taken literally, this language would require every known criminal violation to result in charges and the youth being sent to the criminal justice system. This is in complete opposition to the historical success that SROs have had by circumventing the criminal justice system and working with school administration to get better outcomes for our children. We also request that the deadline for SRO training on line 6.5 of the bill be changed from June 1st to December 1st of 2025 to give SROs and agencies an additional 6 months to complete the training. Recognizing the workforce challenges that currently exist in police agencies across the state, we feel the additional 6 months is a reasonable and prudent change to the bill. Thank you for the opportunity to testify here today. We look forward to continuing the conversation this vitally important bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Marcy Ekstad is next, and on deck we have Imran Ali. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Hi, I'm Marcy Ekstad. I'm a research assistant with the Minnesota Justice Research Center. We're a community-based research nonprofit focused on reimagining the criminal legal system. So we also submitted a memo about this issue, and I've personally conducted research related to SROs and BIPOC youth in Minnesota. Nationally, SROs actually lack clearly defined roles and have no guidance or legally enforced oversight that's regulated at the national level. Minnesota can really lead the way by cementing best practices and duty of care standards for SROs, because so many school districts have decided the benefits of SROs outweigh the drawbacks. It's important that the state set clear guidelines for SRO roles and duties. We encourage that work that is engaging community stakeholders that's already underway continue, because it's really important to listen to those most impacted by this bill. Establishing standards would allow this model, and really it should be reflected in the bill that this continue with community engagement, and the post board really needs to set parameters for SROs with input from vital stakeholders, especially parents, students, educators, and law enforcement. Schools should avoid meshing students in the criminal legal system for common youth behaviors. Kids should be allowed to make mistakes. And encounters with the criminal legal system have been shown to create negative in educational and socio-emotional outcomes for youth. So we really want to limit the impacts of those, and schools should address incidents in a holistic manner and use law enforcement as a last resort, if at all possible. Setting guidelines for SROs will help focus their time, training, and requirements towards more mentorship-oriented role fulfillment, de-emphasizing their role as law enforcer, and if and while police remain in schools, kids should be able to go about their day perceiving their SROs as just that, a resource. I and the MNJRC would like to offer assistance in this process, however we are able to, and if anybody is interested in having us.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Up next, we have Imran Ali, and then Maren Christensen-Hofer is on deck. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Mueller. Members of the committee, my name is Imran Ali. I'm the General Counsel for the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the legislature from both sides of the aisle. I've had an opportunity over the last several months to meet and talk with each of you, it seems like, and our underlying goal always has been the safety of our students, staff, and also our community. This issue and this important issue has always been about the safety of our students, staffs, and communities that we belong to. And as the General Counsel for MPPOA, I'm also a former prosecutor as well as a former defense attorney. And it's incumbent that the legislators do whatever they can to ensure that the law that is passed is based on sound state and federal law. The current law is contrary to state and federal law. And it creates two standards when, in very, very rare circumstances, force either would or should be applied. Force has always been the last option. For the new law, as drafted, it returns that legal standard that officers in our state have been trained on. In a time when policies and procedures and law matter the most to law enforcement, we must not act out of passion or ideologies. Rather, our decision should be apolitical and rooted in common sense with the proper application of the law. Since this summer, as MPPOA General Counsel, the voice of the rank and file of over 10,000 officers around the state, I've had the pleasure and the opportunity to talk to SROs from each corner of the state. Those that are out want back in but are frightened under the current law, and those that are in are also worried about what the future is with the law in flux. They all love students, they love the staff, and they look to build and foster relationships with their respective student body, and we so eloquently heard from at least four or five students today about that very, very important role. But all SROs agree that there can only be one standard, that standard that's prescribed by the law, that's also incumbent in our policies and procedures in the state of Minnesota. This amendment to the law solves that issue and would assuage concerns that SROs around the state would have. There have been a lot of discussion about...
Mr. Ali, I'm sorry to cut you off. I have let everybody go over 2 minutes a little bit, but we're getting way over now. Do you have like a wrap... We know you're an attorney, Mr. Ali. So if you have a wrap-up sentence, that would be great.
Madam Chair, may I have two wrap-up sentences, and they're short with no commas.
Quickly.
Okay. There have been a lot of discussion about certain holds, those in which an airway of a person is restricted. This practice has already been banned in 2021, and law enforcement has been trained on this. This applies to every single citizen in the state, including students. And any talk that students would be at risk with the passage of this new law from Representative Frazier is simply not accurate. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the community.
Thank you.
Committee.
Thank you. All right, we've got Marin Christensen-Hofer and then Sean Derringer on deck. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Marin Christensen-Hofer. I am a parent of a child with a disability. I'm the executive director of an organization called the Multicultural Autism Action Network, which serves families of children with disabilities in our multicultural communities. And I'm here tonight for one reason and one reason only, and that is that 79 children have died from restraint-related fatalities. 38 of those were specifically from prone restraint. This is not a safe procedure. The way the law is written right now, what is being proposed, is it makes an exception for law enforcement and security. We do not believe that any child under any circumstances should be subjected to any form of physical holding that restricts or impairs a pupil's ability to breathe, restricts or impairs a pupil's ability to communicate distress, places pressure or weight on a pupil's head, throat, neck, chest, lungs, sternum, diaphragm, back, abdomen, or results in straddling a pupil's torso. There should be no exception to that for law enforcement. I'm asking you here to consider, you know, the needs of our children. You have a very difficult decision to make, prioritizing the wants of law enforcement over the needs of our kids. And I would ask you to just be very thoughtful about that decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Sean Derringer is up next, and then we have Tressa Dykstra on deck. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I am the Wright County Sheriff, Sean Derringer. I am grateful to be here to share my testimony regarding HF 3489 with you this evening. The Wright County Sheriff's Office has 14 assigned SROs that are responsible for 59 buildings spanning 10 school districts across Wright County. Over the past 3 years, they have handled 4,500 calls for service in our schools. Many of these calls are fights, assaults against students and staff, sexual assault, possession and use of drugs, overdoses, thefts, criminal damage to property, online bullying, and threats, just to name a few. The mental health of our student body is a contributing factor in many of these situations. Last year, after we learned of the passage of this legislation, I felt that law enforcement, and specifically our SROs, were put in a very difficult position. I asked my staff to pull data from the previous school year and learned that we had 3 use of force incidents that may have been questionable given the parameters of the new law. Based on that data, several meetings with my county attorney, school administrators, and other stakeholders, I made the difficult decision to keep our SROs in place. I believe that the vast majority of their time is spent building and fostering relationships and being a positive role model within the school setting. To add more credit to our SROs, I offered all of them a temporary reassignment, which they all declined. I would like to personally thank Representative Frazier for showing an interest in having these conversations and talking about the impacts of last year's legislation. In just the past 2 weeks, we've had 2 students require an ambulance ride to the hospital for mental health-related circumstances. A patrol deputy had to ride in the ambulance because of the aggressive behavior. In the second situation, a second grader started launching items off the second floor onto the floor below. Staff followed the student around, watching him destroy school property and disrupting the entire school and other students. It is because of the confusion caused by last year's legislation that have tied the hands of our SROs. Early intervention by the SROs could have resulted in far less disruption to the school and a more dignified outcome for both of these young students. In closing, it is hard to fully express the impact of this legislation in just a couple of minutes. It has been significant. You have received a letter from several stakeholders, including the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, explaining a few of these minor changes that would have a significant impact. I would ask that these items receive your consideration, as I believe that our SROs provide tremendous service to our schools and have a significant role in keeping our schools and children safe. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony. Tressa Dykstra, and then on deck we have Kay Kessel. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Hello, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this important issue tonight. My name is Tressa Dykstra, and I'm speaking to you as a pediatric nurse practitioner and a mother. I work with patients that have autism, intellectual disabilities, genetic disorders, and you can't always see these disabilities when you look at somebody, but we can't afford to make a mistake when it could result in injury or death to a child. Death from prone restraint occurs due to cardiac arrest. In other words, compromised breathing and circulation can stop the heart. Pressure in the neck and chest decreases cardiac output and ventilation until a body can no longer compensate. Children with developmental disabilities are at increased risk of cardiac arrest because of their inability to communicate problems and low muscle tone. Another issue is that many children have already experienced violent trauma in the hands of adults who are supposed to keep them safe. Traumatized children need our safety and protection when they are in distress. Placing a dysregulated child face down on a floor is repeating a major power difference they have already been subjected to. In my 24 years of experience working with high-risk children, I have never needed to use prone restraint to keep a child or myself safe. Upset children can be calmed by compassionate adults trained in de-escalation techniques. In mental health, we call this attunement. When a child experiences attunement in loving relationships, they can begin healing, and a healed child becomes a healthy adult, employee, etc., who does not continue the cycle of violence. I want to also speak about my experiences as a mother to children with disabilities. My disclosure is that I have children who look like me and children of color.
Our family's experience mirrors the disturbing data that shows children of color are more likely to experience harsh punishments than their white peers. My education and my whiteness have not protected my children at school. We have experienced serious lapses in judgment that have left lasting marks. We are aware of persistent discrepancies in educational outcomes for the children of Minnesota, and we can be certain that prone restraint would be disproportionately applied to children of color. Prone restraint is
the extra. Sorry, we're well over two minutes now. If you can wrap it up, please.
Thank you. If we want to make Minnesota the greatest state for the nation for children, then we must be willing to prioritize the safety of all children. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Kay Kessel, and then we have Kalia Pringle up next. Hello. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Kay Kessel, and I'm a retired assistant principal for the Minneapolis schools and a senior citizen who's been a fighting advocate for the racial injustice in our schools. Legislators, I am a retired assistant principal for the Minneapolis schools and was at Roosevelt High School for 2 years when the gangs came into Minneapolis. Emerson School then, which had an alternative high school program for students who were kicked out of our high schools. I was there for 2 years and we had many tough kids, and Wilreen Beasley and I were the administrators and we had no police. I went to Washburn for 6 years and the last 3 years at South High. In each high school, I developed ways with troubled students to prevent the prison pipeline. We had liaison officers in each school and many off-duty officers that were paid to be at all of our events, dances, athletic events, theater. They were there every day. Our principals and assistant principals and educational assistants, we were in charge of security. No principal would allow the liaison officer to step into a situation unless we asked them to. We very rarely ever had to have somebody step in. Only at South High, in the third precinct from 1999 to 2002, did that change. I was in charge of security at the school, and we had locked doors, and all students came in with their passes. In each high school, I developed a student support group team made up of the school clinic staff, the social workers, the counselors, the nurse, the school psychologists, special ed teachers, chemical dependency counselor, and of course the administrator. We met weekly to intervene on our students at risk. Our school secretaries, the coaches, the lunch ladies, they are all looking out. They all looked out for our kids. And we met and intervened so that students, mainly our kids of color, would not get into the prison pipeline. Your own colleague, Representative Aisha Gomez, now a significant legislator.
So I need to cut you off here. We are well over 2 minutes. If you can give us a wrap-up comment, please.
Please. Could you please let me finish?
We do have your letter in the packet as well, and the members
have
the number.
It's the police officers here.
And I've given everybody the same amount, so we need to finish you up and move on to the next testifier.
Anyway, it was 2014. We had the League of Women Voters and 70 organizations had a forum interrupting the prison pipeline. And it took 10 years, and just last year you passed Restore the Vote. But we met at the Hennepin County Juvenile Detention Center to plan the forum 10 years ago. 98% of the kids at the Hennepin County Juvenile Detention Center are kids of color. And 10 years later, if you get the records, it's the same. So we need to have our wonderful police officers come in and work with the community. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Kalia Pringle, and then we have Tiffany Flynn Forsland. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kalia Pringle. I am the Minnesota State Director for the National
Parents Union and a member of Solutions Not Suspensions Coalition. I'm also a former educator. I'm here today because the struggle to keep black bodies safe is a never-ending duty and a reality. As a parent, the legislation proposed to make exceptions to SROs is sad, heartbreaking, frightening, and disappointing. Our elected officials passed groundbreaking legislation last year on all aspects of life. We all gathered at the and celebrated at the Capitol when the governor signed the omnibus bill. We never thought we would be down this road where the powers that be want the community to understand that somehow school resource officers cannot do their jobs without being able to use tactics that restrict the airway of children. Well, if we can help it, not on our watch. We all watched as George Floyd took his last breath and communities from around the world said no more, not on our watch. The issue is not whether or not SROs should be in the building. The issue is, do we want another George Floyd in our schools? And we say no, not on our watch. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. We have Tiffany Flynn Forsland, and then up next, Hannah Lixon. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Tiffany Flynn Forsland. You scared me with that 90 seconds.
Well, I've given everybody's gotten a little bit over 2 minutes, so we'll start over. We can begin now.
Okay, so I have my one speech that I wrote up that you probably have. I am a longtime educator, parent, now I have grandbabies. And I can say personally in my family, I can feel lucky that my children, my birth kids, there's not much melanin in them. I didn't have much to worry about with them. But now I work with at-risk children, BIPOC children of color, almost 100%. Those kids I worry about. I know what I went through due to my melanin and my skin, and a lot of things were not pretty. And when you're dealing with racism, as we do in Minnesota, it is a tough place to be when you are a person of color. I have 27 students I work with every day. They think I don't like them because I'm trying to gear them for the real world that they're going to enter into. It's a tough place. They don't completely understand it themselves. I feel that there is going to be a certain day, a certain attitude, a certain officer, a certain kid, and it's going to be a bad result. And so with that, I am against the bill, and I don't think any child should have to witness that or experience that trauma.
Thank you. And you actually did do 90 seconds, so thank you for that. All right, now we've got Hannah Lixon and then Malaika Eben. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dr. Hannah Lixon, and I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. As pediatricians, it's our priority to ensure the health and well-being of children and youth in Minnesota. Prone restraints are harmful to children both physically and emotionally. It is my medical opinion that use of a face-down, forcible prone restraint does limit the ability of a child to breathe. We therefore ask that this committee vote to maintain existing language that restricts prone restraint use by all adults, including law enforcement officers in Minnesota schools. Prone restraints restrict the ability of a child to inhale, limiting the delivery of oxygen to the body, which can lead to brain damage, and also can limit the ability to exhale, which means that carbon dioxide builds up and is converted to acid in the bloodstream. This leads to toxic metabolic acidosis, which can cause irregular heart rhythms and cardiac arrest. Prone restraints also amplify the fight or flight reflex, leading to elevations in heart rate and respiratory rate and increased physical agitation. So instead of helping an already upset child, prone restraints worsen their immediate emotional state and can lead to subsequent trauma disorder.
They also erode the trust that children have for the adult or category of adult who uses the restraint, making it harder for teachers, or in this case, law enforcement officers, to help or intervene in future situations. Because of the negative impacts of prone restraints, all other modalities of de-escalation and restraint should be used prior to resorting to such a grave action, with their use reserved for emergency situations, as already stated in the law. Law enforcement officers should be held to just as high a standard as all other adults when it comes to ensuring the safety of our children. Please vote to maintain this protection and ensure that schools can remain a safe environment for all Minnesota children. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Malika Eben is here, and then we have Jessica Webster, and then the last person is Susan Montgomery, so you can both come down. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Moeller and members of the committee. My name is Malika Eben. I am the executive director at the Legal Rights Center in Minneapolis. We're a nonprofit public defense firm. We've been representing youth and adults in Hennepin County Criminal Court for over 50 years. I would like to just remind this committee and urge you to really consider the testimony that you've heard from so many people who are focusing on the issue of prone restraints. That is what community is concerned about. That is what young people are talking about when they want to have conversations about safety in their building. When we talk about prone restraints, you heard the doctor just mention this, we're talking about babies, our children, face down, unable to ask for help. That is unacceptable. The legislation last year said that we want no adults to be able to do that to our kids. That is all we are asking for today. I want to read a little bit of a testimony from some young folks who were here. Thank you to Representative Frazier, who met with them earlier, who testified in the Education Committee yesterday and couldn't join us tonight. You have this in your packet, a letter from a student named Mira, who is a high schooler in St. Paul Public Schools. Mira says that as a student, it feels as though there are many can'ts. She can't buy a lottery ticket. She can't vote. She also can't control when and how adults feel it's necessary to exercise their power in fatally or violent manners over literal children. She can't express to you all the extent of the hurt that would be felt by the countless black and brown and disabled students who will be disproportionately affected by House File 3489. All she can do is reiterate what is already common sense. In no world is prone restraint an effective way to go about our children's education, which, as said by Governor Walz, is supposed to conjure the magic of promising beginnings and the grace of second chances. Please, we're urging you to listen to the voice of Minnesota youth as you go about this legislative session. Their safety and their futures are in your hands. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Jessica Webster and then Susan Montgomery. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jessica Webster. I'm a staff attorney with Legal Aid, also representing the Disability Law Center. We are strongly opposed to House File 3489 as written. We believe that the spirit and intent of last year's legislation was to ban prone restraint and breath-impacting holds on children in our schools. Legal Aid and the Disability Law Center have experience representing children who have been hurt in prone holds and physical restraints, and we advocated the ban that passed in 2015 for children with disabilities. This is a prone restraint. It's allegedly the illustration of a proper prone restraint, where a child is held face down on the floor with their legs and arms pinned. This is not banned by Minnesota law in 60906, because the adults in this illustration are not using a compressive chokehold. But this so-called proper prone restraint is inhumane, traumatic, and incredibly dangerous for children. When this child fights or resists, when this child is dysregulated, the risk of positional asphyxiation increases. Legal Aid acknowledges there have now been two AG opinions.
Okay, can you put the sign down. We did say no signs at the beginning. I would have allowed maybe a copy of that to go around as well. So, and it is the first committee hearing, so I'm granting some leeway here, but please continue.
Understood, Chair. Legal Aid acknowledges there have now been two AG opinions on this issue and one opinion from the Hennepin County Attorney that is slightly different from the AG opinion. As such, the legislature is in the position this session to clarify the confusion, and legal aid does support that clarification that you could make. But please don't remove the ban on prone restraints in our schools. And please don't tell us that everything is fine because 60906 bans chokeholds. The illustration I showed you is a prone restraint. It is not banned by 60906, and it's not okay to do this to our children in schools. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Next up, we have Susan Montgomery.
Best for last.
Yes. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and you can begin.
Good evening, Public Safety Committee. My name is Susan Montgomery. I am a community and education advocate for students and people with disabilities. I am also disabled. I'm here tonight to share my story as a parent to a child who is now 19, but was a product of the Cradle to Prison pipeline via having an IEP in the state of Minnesota. You might ask, why does the SRO subject matter to me if he is no longer in school? Well, my son was abused terribly while going to public school here. I truly believe his trials and tribulations today are because of what happened to him when he was younger. For years, while he was receiving special education services as a young black male, he was put in restraints like air restrictive holds and other horrible torturous acts. Most of the incidents turned out to be illegal prone restraints or obsessive amounts of restraints, just for being a kid. Excuse me. Going to school was a death sentence for my son and many other kids with disabilities, especially brown and black students. I have testified numerous times to different committees to fight on this issue and spread awareness over the years. Kids are severely injured, traumatized, and even killed because of this. Having an SRO in school will not help the situation either, especially if they are biased. It is important to note kids like mine were labeled inappropriately, often triggered by witnessing other kids being restrained or given similar harsh discipline for responding to a sensory issue that may have resulted in a meltdown, which doesn't mean they deserve restraint since it may have been part of the disability. I should have brought my water gun when you're I'm just kidding. Thank you. Time out, guys.
We will pause for that.
Thank you. Or we'll be calling 911. Okay, time out. So, but to some of the staff with no to little training, they saw it dangerous behaviors just because they have a disability when they were just trying to be themselves. Without warning, they were often and immediately held down, and parents weren't even notified. One time, my son's own hoodie was pulled off of him in a struggle and used as a restraint that resulted in strangulation marks around the neck. The principals often signed off on these, even if they did not have full knowledge of the policy and procedure or what was going on in their school. My son had autism, PTSD, asthma, and GERD, so this could have easily killed him. Another time, he was thrown face down at a conference table in a small room filled with adults. Most on top of him, when he tried to tell them he couldn't breathe, they counted down how long they had left and it would be okay for. One staff even responded, "If you can talk, you can breathe." So he tried to respond to this torture and had a reaction that they didn't like. They called the cops on him and had him arrested. He was written a citation of a felony. He was only six.
And
that was illegal.
We are well over 2 minutes now, so if you could wrap up.
Sure. Do you think this helped when people that look like him are held down and murdered on live social media by the type of cops, especially during a pandemic? Grown men are told by cops, if you can talk, you can't breathe. It is more trauma and pain onto our youth and community. No one deserves this. School is supposed to be a safe space for learning, not torture. Please say no to SROs and restraints in our schools. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And thanks to everybody for your testimony tonight. And I just want to apologize. I know we're trying to get as many people here to testify as possible. And so I'm not trying to be mean or cut people off. We also have limits on how long we're allowed to be in this space because they're live streaming. There's a lot of staff here. And that's why we're just trying to keep things along. But a lot of people have submitted letters as well. We will take a look at those as members of our committee. So again, just want to thank you all for being here. And members, we will try to get done tonight by 8:10. We did get started a little late. We are going to move now to the amendment and then member discussions and questions. We do have a DE3 amendment, and I believe Representative Witte, that is your amendment. Can you please describe the DE3 amendment?
Thank you, Chair Mueller. Thank you, Representative Frazier. My amendment significantly improves the underlying bill by incorporating recommendations from law enforcement and cities. The amendment maintains excluding SROs from the definition of an employee or agent of a school district, maintains limits on school employees' use of prone restraints, maintains removing imminent from a teacher's ability to use reasonable force to prevent bodily harm or death, reinstates the ability of school employee to use reasonable force to prevent damage to property, a request that came from educators and school administrators, maintains excluding SROs from the changes to authorize use of force in schools, maintains the definition of a school resource officer, replaces the word shall with the word may to describe the contractual duties of an SRO with a school district or charter school, a request made by law enforcement associations and cities, maintains language prohibiting SROs from using force or authority to enforce school rules or policies, maintains SRO training requirements, but allows training by Minnesota School Safety Center SRO training or national SRO training to qualify without requiring additional training the post board is required to develop in the underlining bill. It replaces the post board with the Department of Public Safety Safety Center as a primary driver of developing the SRO training courses. The School Safety Center must still consult with the post board. It authorizes DPS School Safety Center to approve supplemental training courses, and it deletes the unnecessary and troublesome model policy mandate that law enforcement does not want. It deletes the requirement that every law enforcement agency with an SRO must adopt the model policy, and it deletes licensing sanctions and injunctive relief on law enforcement agencies that do not adopt the model policy. It adds $250,000 appropriation in fiscal year 2025 for SRO training reimbursement to local law enforcement agencies. This DE3 will be a simple fix that will bring clarity and peace of mind and remove the politics, and it will return our SROs to schools and will make our schools a safer place for students, teachers, and staff. I ask for all your support, and I request a roll call.
Thank you. We will have a roll call. Representative Frazier to the DE3 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Whitty, for bringing the amendment. So one thing I just want to add here, you described it as a small, easy fix, this your amendment, but it really has some great substantive changes to the bill as presented right now. Mainly, it takes away the process to have in the stakeholder voices that what we've heard from most folks, they want to be a part of this conversation to decide how we can create a comprehensive system in our schools for safety for everyone in the schools. If we accept this amendment, we delete that and we get rid of that process. So I don't think that's something that we should do. It also stops us from creating a uniform system that can be implemented across the state, which provides some transparency, consistency, and also the accountability, which you talked about quite eloquently. We shouldn't remove those things. Those things are important. Almost every conversation we heard here from folks, they want that type of uniform system, comprehensive system, and they absolutely want a system that provides accountability when needed. Hoping that we don't, but if we do, it should be there and folks should know where to go to get that accountability. So for those reasons, I'm going to ask members to vote down this amendment. I think we got a good bill that provides for that process for input and feedback from a broad group of people, and I want to make sure we maintain that as we're creating this uniform system across the state.
Discussion on the DE3 amendment. Lee Novotny.
Chair Mueller, thank you for taking this amendment, or at least addressing this amendment. I do believe that it solves our problems, and it gives us a pathway to having a legislative fix that we can all agree on and come to something that really makes sense. We are so close with what the stakeholders want and they need to make sure that these officers are safe. We are so close. And I don't see a pathway with where we're at right now. I think the DE3 gets us a pathway to get the SROs back in the schools. We've heard from the students. They want them back. The SROs want to be back. To be an SRO, it's a personality. It's a special type of person that wants to serve, and not everyone is made to be an SRO. And if we did this, DE3 that Representative Whitty has brought, we can get them back. I worry about what happens in the time that I don't take care of something. We've let this go for so long. We had people calling for a bipartisan solution this summer, and then it got shot down. We can come up with a bipartisan, common sense solution to this. That is the DE3. Please take that into consideration. Vote yes for DE3, and we can move this out to the floor, and we can get this solved. We can have the SROs back in the school this week. Thank you, Chair.
Further discussion on the DE3? I'll just note that those comments that you just mentioned about the calls this summer, that was when we were not in session. And so this is, here we are, our first committee taking it up right now. Any further comments, Representative Witte, on your amendment?
Thank you for listening. The one part I would say, by removing the model policy doesn't mean it can't be revisited another time. This is the fix to get the SROs back in the schools now that we all kind of promised and had these hearings. The other part, and I know we've communicated this, is sometimes your contract with your local schools and your police departments, that's where they work out what's best for them at the local level. And SROs are not for every community, and that is for them to decide. And that's why I think that's where those policies can be discussed in those contracts. Is you don't have to have the contract, or you don't have to put the SROs if the contract's too high. So thank you for listening. I hope everyone votes yes for the DE.
Thank you. A roll call has been requested, and the clerk will take a roll.
Chair Mueller?
No.
Chair Mueller votes no. Vice Chair Feist?
No.
Vice Chair Feist votes no. Lead Novotny?
Aye.
Lead Novotny votes aye. Representative Becker Finn?
No.
Representative Becker Finn votes no. Representative Curran?
No.
Representative Curran votes no. Representative Engen?
Aye.
Representative Engen votes aye. Representative Frazier?
No.
Representative Frazier votes no. Representative Grossel?
Aye.
Representative Grossel votes aye. Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Hollins votes no. Representative Hudson?
Aye.
Representative Hudson votes aye. Representative Hewitt?
No.
Representative Hewitt votes no. Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes yes.
Representative Mueller votes yes. Representative Pinto?
No.
Representative Pinto votes no. Representative Tapke?
No.
Representative Tapke votes no. Representative Witte?
Aye.
Representative Witte votes aye.
There being six ayes and nine nays, the motion does not prevail. And I'll just say good job on your first roll call, Christian. All right, there are no other amendments, so now we will move on to member questions and discussions. And Representative Mueller, I've not forgotten about you. Do you still have a question for Commissioner Jacobson, I believe?
I would love, thank you, Chair Mueller, and yes, I do have a question.
All right. And members, while the commissioner is here, if other members have questions for the commissioner, so we don't have to have them come up and down and back and forth, think of those now. Go ahead, Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Chair Mueller. And Representative Frazier, what a difference from last night to tonight. Right? You and I were in the committee together. Representative Feist, you and I were in the committee together. A very different feel. And thank you so much to the students that came and testified in favor of the SRO. We know that what we hear all the time is the vast amount of students. Well, the actual number is 94%. 94% of our students want SROs back in the classroom. And so what was so interesting from tonight versus last night is somehow all the students that we had last night were against it. And yet we hear from so many tonight, thank you so much for coming and stepping up and saying how badly you appreciate this. So, Commissioner, thank you again for coming up and for testifying. Last night, we did ask you about your support with the DE3, knowing that this fix would also help with our law enforcement officers, would also help with League of Minnesota Cities, really addresses all the issues that we've been hearing. Instead of kind of patchworking this together, we'd have one unified bill here that would be a fix that would have kind of peace in the valley. So now that we've asked you last night, hopefully you've had a chance to read it, and I do want to ask again if you would be willing to support the DE3.
Commissioner Jacobson.
thank you, Chair Mueller, members of the committee, and thank you for the question. And the simple answer would be no.
Representative Mueller.
Well, thank you so much, Chair Mueller. And, well, I appreciate you being very candid with us, and I thank you for being able to review that. I think it's important for us to remember that, you know, as we've heard from the boots on the ground, what they would like to see in the bill, that that's what the DE3 was for. And so hopefully our conversation will continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ingen.
Question for Commissioner Jacobson. Can you explain why you don't support the DE3?
Well, let me just say this, too. I mean, I'll let him answer that, but the DE3 we've already voted down, and I did hear the committee hearing last night in education, and so I'm allowing a little leeway here, but since that DE3 is no longer before us, I would like to move on. But go ahead and answer that question, Commissioner.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Mueller, members of the committee, and I appreciate the interest in my answer to that question. The term SRO came up in vernacular for most of us starting in August of 2023. And as I've described to many legislators, many colleagues in law enforcement, those that I work with, that I best describe that as a painful process. And perhaps some others have come up with some other similar suggestions. It's been a lot of work. Spent a lot of time working with members of the community, again, legislators and colleagues. And what I found as we've worked through this, that, and I've shared this with others, that at the end of the day, as this comes through this bill, the goal is to get SROs absolutely back into school. The goal is to have our students safe as they go back into school, and that the path to get there is likely going to make most stakeholders, if not all, just a little bit unhappy. And so my goal is that, again, to get SROs back into school, to allow police officers to use their training and their discretion and ability to use force as they see fit in a setting, whether it be the school or whether it be on the street or whether it be in the Mall of America, to use that same training no matter where they may be. I believe this bill allows for that. That was my biggest concern. I know that my colleagues, many of whom I know and have known for many, many years, my heart is in law enforcement, but I also understand the critical need to get this bill to a place where I believe it would allow police officers to use their full spectrum of use of force as needed. I think this bill accomplishes that. I believe this will help keep our kids safe.
Thank you. Anybody else for the commissioner before he's? All right. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, just a big thank you to Representative Frazier for his work on the bill. And there was a particular piece that I want to ask about with all the testimony we had, which relates to current law. As I understand it, and this gets really confusing, but current law does not prohibit a school resource officer from using prone restraints to prevent bodily harm, I think, despite what it may look like on the second page of the bill. And if our House Research nonpartisan staff could just clarify what the status under current law is of the use of prone restraints by SROs as to what they're allowed to do, Madam Chair, if you're willing.
Thank you, Representative Pinto. Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, members, I'll do my best to answer this question. There are two sections in the education law. It's sections 121A.58 and 121A.582. And those interact with a section in the criminal law, which is 609.06. All three of these kind of overlap in some ways. 121A.58 says that certain holds, including prone restraints and the other holds you've heard described tonight, cannot be used by any teachers or other school officials, and it specifically says that that includes school resource officers. 121A.582 creates some exceptions for the use of those types of holds. What 121A.582 says is that in situations where it's necessary to use force to restrain a student to prevent bodily harm or death to the student or another, that reasonable force may be used. The Attorney General, in looking at this, issued an opinion, and part of the Attorney General's guidance was that essentially 121A582 operates as an exception to 121A.58, meaning that when there is a situation that calls for the need to protect a student from bodily harm or death to that student or to another, that the only limit on the use of force is the standard of reasonableness. There are no specific holds that are prohibited. Keeping in mind that all of this relates back to 609.06, which has been in place as well for years, and 609.06 indicates that there are certain circumstances where peace officers are permitted to use force, and it is not a crime. There are about five or six that apply to peace officers in that statute, includes things like making a lawful arrest, protecting individuals from bodily harm, protecting property when someone has the right to have that property protected. 609.06 also has a prohibition on chokeholds, as has been described tonight, meaning that the limits on peace officer use of force, which would include obviously school resource officers who are peace officers, is that the force must always be reasonable under each of these standards. Chokeholds are prohibited under 609.06. 121A.58 would prohibit the use of prone restraints and these other holds, except when there is a need to protect someone from bodily harm or death. There is still, with that, some question about the use of prone restraints in the relation to the authorizations in 609.06. I hope that's helpful.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if anybody's feeling a little confused, we'll understand. So what I get out of that, and also from what we've looked at before, is that if we look at the bill lines 2.4 and 2.5, where it's crossing off school resource officer as being an employee or agent that it looks like under current law cannot use a prone restraint, under this bill would be able to use a prone restraint, that's actually pretty misleading in that under current law, with no bill goes forward, no change at all, that they would be able to use prone restraint when there's a situation to prevent bodily harm. And I guess maybe if I can just see if Mr. Johnson, our nonpartisan staff, if I'm saying that, summarizing that okay, Madam Chair.
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, Representative Pinto, in cases where there is bodily harm under the Attorney General's interpretation, then yes, there would be an authorization to use prone restraint and those other restrictive holds to prevent bodily harm or death.
Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so final point then, Madam Chair, is and I so much appreciated the testimony from so many folks expressing concern about prone restraints. I just want to make sure it's not misread that this bill somehow would repeal a current law relating to this, because in fact prone restraints are not prohibited, despite it's confusing the language here under the law, but are not prohibited when it's to prevent bodily harm. And so I really, Representative Frazier, thank you so much for the work that you put in to put this bill together and to move things forward. I really appreciate it, and thank you for the chance for the clarification, Madam Chair.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Frazier, for your work on this bill. I do have some questions and I guess concerns in particular. And it goes to what Representative Pinto was just saying, because I think I'm seeing a lot in the letters and in the testimony that we are rolling things back and that we are removing something that is currently in place. But it is correct, or at least it is my understanding, that there is no there is not uniformity across the state with how the law that we passed in 2023 would be interpreted. Is that correct?
Representative Frazier.
That is correct. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hollins.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm in St. Paul. I represent St. Paul. I live in St. Paul. My kids are in St. Paul. There are no SROs in St. Paul Public Schools. You are in Hennepin County, where the Hennepin County attorney has said that she interprets the law one way, and you have a clear understanding of that. But what guarantee is there that we know what and how children will be treated in, say, Representative Tabke's district or Representative Curran's district? Do we have any guarantee on how those children will be treated and how SROs will be working with those children?
Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Hollins, for those questions. We do not. I mean, that's the importance of the model policy piece and also the other pieces in the current proposal that we have in front of us that will create the uniformity, comprehensive uniformity around the state. And I've talked to folks about this ad nauseum now, is that, you know, if we stay with the status quo, we still have some of this uncertainty. And I think that's, for most part, and what I hear from community folks, they don't want that uncertainty. Law enforcement doesn't want that uncertainty. Education folks don't want that uncertainty. Our youth do not want that uncertainty. That is what this bill will do, will push us toward a uniformity, a uniform process throughout the state and remove that uncertainty.
All right, and I think we have two more members who have asked to speak. Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, welcome back. There's plenty I have to say about this bill and kind of the background and the process that's brought us here to hearing Representative Frazier's fix, I'll put in scare quotes. But I'm just going to suffice for the interest of time with just making one point, and it's a very unusual point. Because we find ourselves in a really unusual dynamic here tonight where there are a lot of people who came to testify and submitted letters of testimony that are on my side of this bill. They oppose the bill. They oppose it for very different reasons, and it seems as though they're upset about what they perceive this bill to accomplish. And what I noted, certainly during the verbal testimony tonight, was the degree to which you largely communicated through your nods agree with a lot of the points that they're making. And so I'm going to do something potentially unconventional, and I'm actually going to stick up for Representative Frazier and try to reassure you, if you came here tonight or if you're watching or you wrote a piece of testimony concerned about what this bill achieves and what it accomplishes, and you're afraid that we're taking away the ability to impose activist expectations upon law enforcement, that is not what this bill does. What this bill does is it takes the language out of statute that provides double restraint or two different standards for use of force for law enforcement, takes it out of the hands of this body and the legislature, and it puts it in the purview of the Post Board, who gets to make what Representative Frazier just referred to as model policy, and which was pointed out by Representative Witte is enforced under sanction, potential loss of licensure, and what have you. So what we're having here is a situation where, indeed, if you think that there's a separate standard that ought to be imposed in our public schools, you're going to get your opportunity. It just won't be here in a public forum as part of the legislative process. All you're going to have to do is influence your activist friends who have been appointed by the governor to the Post Board, and they'll be able to make up any rule they want and impose it under force of potentially losing licenses. So you should applaud Representative Frazier for accomplishing exactly what you want through means that don't involve the consent of the governed. Thank you.
Representative Novotny.
Chair Mueller, that was very well said, Representative Hudson. Chair Mueller, the problem that we have on this side is that we live in Realville. We live in Realville. Myself, several other the members on this side of the table have been in knockdown, drag-out fights. Fights that take place in a heartbeat, that you don't know they're coming, and in a second you have to make a decision. We've got lawyers that are well-versed in this bill that can't decide what it is. We've had the Attorney General and the county attorney for the largest county in the state, I don't know if I could say her name, so I won't, who can't even agree on what is the interpretation of this law. We had people come out, and if you play back your remarks, you made the argument for our DE3. You made the argument for our DE3, and we should go to that. We're not here for all the things that were testified about. We're not here to discuss suspensions. This bill's got nothing to do with that. This bill that passed in 2023 has got nothing to do with suspensions. SROs aren't involved in that. They haven't been. They're not involved in low test scores. They're not involved in the prison, the school-to-prison pipeline. They're going to prison because they don't have good test scores. Okay? Why are we here? Because 121A.5 8, subdivision 2A, B, last two sentences, restricts or impairs a pupil's ability to communicate distress. Yeah, we should, that I don't have a problem with that. That's great. Places pressure or weight on a pupil's head. Absolutely. Someone does that right now, it's against the law, and I'll be the first one to tell you, jerk their license and prosecute them. Throat, neck, chest, lungs, sternum, diaphragm, back, or abdomen. Any of you broke up a fight? Have you been involved with two people that aren't playing by the same rules that you're playing with? Asymmetrical rules? Someone that doesn't have to answer to a post board? They don't have the same restrictions? It's a knockdown, drag-out fight, and you're going to walk down and try to do a wrist lock escort? Yeah, you're going to get your nose broke. We're running out of time. I was going to have Sheriff Derringer come down and talk about things. He left his SROs in, and they're exposed, and they're not taking the things that they would have done to control these kids before they got too far out of control. And I know he said one that is still out on workers' comp because he got his knee severely taken, and he had to have a lot of medical treatment. Heard a lot of testimony over the time that the restraints, they don't work as they are now. I'll just come up and give you a wrist lock and everything will be fine. No, we're talking about somebody that's fighting and they don't care about your rules. We have simple things that we could have fixed. And instead of just fixing the simple things we could have fixed, we have this different set of things that might fix it and we don't. I think the one testifier that we had really sums it up, and I think that's the goal. Please say no to SROs. I think that was the goal. That's the goal. These groups are very specific that they don't want the SROs in the school. I don't know why. I don't know why they want that chaos. If we want the kids not to go to prison, how about if they can go and learn and not have to worry about a fight or if they're going to get jumped in a bathroom? Let's get the kids back in the school learning, and look, we had the surveys. 94% of the kids want the SROs back in the school. Makes me wonder why the 6% doesn't. But Chair, we can fix this. We can fix this quickly. Anything that happens between now and what it takes for us to get the SROs back into school when they can do their job and know they're not going to get it. Last line of it, or straddles a pupil's torso. So if I stand over a student that's on the ground to protect them from someone else, is that going to be, depending on which county attorney is watching the tape, you know, we've seen other cases where it's totally subjective. Are you willing to jeopardize your career, your safety, your freedom? Let's fix this and do it right and do it legislatively.
Representative Frazier, final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks everybody for their comments. And Representative Novotny, this is a legislative action. When we take this action, if it goes through and we vote it off the floor and the governor finally signs it, this will be a legislative action. And it's one that will include voices that we don't typically hear from. And I said this in the last hearing. I said this in a hearing last night. We're public servants. Our law enforcement officers are public servants. And I don't hear them saying that they don't want to engage with the public, right? This is an opportunity for our public servants to engage with the public, to hear from the public about what their concerns are, and law enforcement can share with them what their thoughts are about that. I said this too, we continue to have these conversations, but we're not talking to each other and we're not hearing each other. This bill will create that process for us to do that. There's a lot of things I can say about what you said about why kids are going to prison. We've got a lot of issues that we need to fix to make sure our kids have the best possible outcomes and they can be the best that they can be. This ain't the main one. So to say that just because they go to school and they're fighting each other, that's why they're going to prison, they got low test scores. Why do they have low test scores? Those are the things we have to address. That's exactly what you said. Those are the things we have to address. Not this bill. That's not this bill, but that's what you said. But that is not this bill. There's other things we can work on together to address that. And I hope we can. But this bill is about creating some uniformity, creating some standards, and being clear about what the role of an SRO is in our buildings. And I think we can do that together. And I think we're going to keep working toward that, and I'm looking forward to getting to that point where we can come out with something that everybody can be appreciative of. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Frazier, I just wanted to give you my heartfelt thank you for all of the hard work and the leadership that you have shown on this bill, the countless hours that you have spent talking to many different stakeholders. Obviously, there's a lot of different opinions here, and I think you've done a really great job navigating all those discussions. And again, want to thank everybody for coming to the committee, submitting letters, either in support or against. We really appreciate all of the input from the public on this. And with that, I will renew my motion and lay over House File 3489 as amended. And that is all we have on the agenda this evening. We'll see you members on Thursday for our regularly scheduled hearing time. The agenda has been posted online, and this meeting is adjourned.